Well, eventually, in fact, Charles V did invade. The Catholic emperor came and invaded Germany. The year after Luther's death, he actually sweeps into Saxony, takes over Wittenberg, refuses to burn up, to dig up Luther's bones and burn them as a heretic. He says, I don't make war on dead men. Good man, Charles V. But he does actually take over Wittenberg, and in 1548, the next year, he imposes what's called the Augsburg Interim from the Diet of Augsburg of that year, which reestablishes the Catholic Church throughout Germany, but allows certain Protestant practices, such as the married clergy and so on, because at that point, the Protestant Reformation has, in fact, transformed German culture, and it's hard to uproot. All of these pastors are now Protestant, right? You don't have enough Catholic priests around to take care of the parishes. And Charles is waiting for the Catholic Church to figure out what to do about this situation in the Council of Trent, which just got started a couple of years earlier. But the Council of Trent takes 20 years. And in the meantime, you've got this interim. What are you going to do? Well, you let the Lutheran pastors continue because you don't have an alternative. And that really shows how deeply the Lutheran Reformation has already rooted itself in German culture already by 1548, 2 years after Luther's death. Eventually, after some back and forth and some fighting, in 1555, we get the Peace of Augsburg, a permanent settlement between the emperor and the German princes, which settles everything under the principle that I mentioned earlier, cuius regio eius religio, which means if it's his region, it's his religion, right? If you've got a territorial prince who's a Lutheran, then his territory is Lutheran. He gets to foster the Lutheran church. If you've got a territorial prince who's Catholic, he gets to foster the Catholic religion. And they're supposed to live in peace with each other, tolerate each other, let Lutherans leave Catholic territories in peace and move to Lutheran territories. There's a kind of uneasy but genuine commitment to not killing each other over their religion in the future. Well, religious warfare broke out later. They did kill each other over religion in the 30 Years' War in the 17th century, which ended in 1648 with the Peace of Westphalia, which again reinforced that cuius regio eius religio principle. Once again, you had the Lutheran princes, the Catholic princes. You also ended up having tolerance extended to the Reformed, the Reformed people, not the Lutherans. They also then get equal rights. Right, so you have a rationale of religious toleration developing. And that becomes one of the crucial aspects of modernity. Right? In the Middle Ages, you'd have religious warfare where the church might suppress heresy. Right? The Albigensian Crusade, where knights went in and attacked heretics in southern France. In the modern period, what you have is state churches, princes who are Lutherans attacking princes who are Catholic. Right? You've had Christendom divided. Christendom at war with each other for Christian reasons. That's a distinctively modern problem, which results in a distinctively modern solution, which is one of the most important legacies of the Reformation. A political legacy of the Reformation is this modern commitment to finding a rationale for religious tolerance. It will end up being a secular rationale. Modern secularism becomes a kind of bargain between church and state, where the state says to the church, you can help people with their consciences, right? Freedom of religion is freedom of conscience. It's inner. It's the freedom of what happens in your heart. But the external world, the world of politics, we need to keep that free of religion, right? The world of politics will be secular henceforth, not Catholic, not Lutheran. The modern bargain, as it were, is to secularize the political realm and to privatize religion. Religion belongs there in that inward freedom of conscience that Luther talks about, whereas the outward political realm of law, violence, politics, fighting, that will be secular. We're not going to fight over religion anymore. We're not going to kill each other for religious reasons. And that becomes a crucial emphasis of modernity. Justifications for temporal sovereignty, for legitimacy of government become increasingly secular, right? The prince doesn't serve God. The prince serves the people. Right, the secular rationale for politics. And thus, political secularization and religious privatization become two of the chief legacies of the Reformation for the modern world, largely unintended by Luther and the other reformers. That's not what they wanted, but that's what we get from the Reformation, is what we call modernity.